Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The budget speech also is something closer to home, something that will impact us. Professor Peter Bauer, we told you we'd come back to him, economist from the University of Johannesburg. Good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning. Thank you for inviting me today.
So your thoughts on the budget?
The way I see it is our finance minister has literally been given a toothpick and expected to make a bonfire. So the real challenge is we have a very small pool of money that we can use to drive many of the ambitions as mentioned in the State of the Nation's address last week. Key concerns are going to be the obviously the very high debt to GDP. As we mentioned, it was like about 80% to GDP. And he did raise that. What was very interesting up front is he recognizes the key major challenges within South Africa. He highlighted the very large unemployment problem. He brought in a very low economic growth and all these factors, how they're going to be contributing towards the challenges that we're facing. Overall, yeah. When he speaks in terms of the raising the funding for the spending, he was talking about, you know, making funds available through banks and then through lenders. And of course, with the government plans of at least a 20% underwriting or guarantee for these loans. There, the concerns are that this budget speech is expansionary, but at the same time, it's also inflationary. So we may see this put an upward pressure on inflation rates, and we can rest assured that the Reserve Bank is going to respond with a possible increase in interest rates in the near future.
Does everything change now that Russia's invaded Ukraine?
I believe that will definitely be a very serious factor in our economy. The first things we can expect are incredible spikes in terms of commodity prices, so food prices, oil prices, energy prices, all of them start to rise. It's going to impact us because through again, an inflationary channel. So what we are going to see is as prices overseas start to increase, affecting trade routes. We've already seen that with the implementation of sanctions on Russia. We're going to import much of that inflation into South Africa. So our own prices are going to start climbing. This is going to impact on households and household spending. We're going to also see possible challenges in terms of, shall we say, certain deliveries. It may even go so far as affecting especially fuel prices in South Africa. We're definitely going to see very sharp fuel prices coming in.
Yeah, so that's sort of an external factor that couldn't have been imagined. Obviously, when the budget speech was delivered, it was a reality.
That was actually a concern I had in the budget speech. I think that should have been made mention of. I think we should have already been planning or against mitigating some of these negative effects. I would have liked him to have actually addressed this and given us some sort of plan how we're going to go forward over the next 12 months. That should have been mentioned because that will definitely affect us.
How reliant is South Africa on Russian trade? And what is likely to happen now that there might be sanctions imposed?
Yes. Okay. So countries like Germany, for example, are one of our largest trade partners. Germany, America, and many of the European countries, and of course China, is a very large trade partner for us. So with sanctions between the European Union and obviously Russia, I think the European Union trades at about 2% of their goods get exported to Russia. And some of those are products that we also then export to the EU. So obviously, those form of sanctions, and of course, the way in which we align ourselves, and there's going to be a bit of a political game now played because the allegiance is towards China, because I think China is sitting in the moment, at least, shall we say, China, I can't say support Russia because I don't think that is completely correct, but the relationship between China and Russia is going to affect us very heavily because of the nature of our trade to China. So how they play out their politics will also affect us then in a big way. And then, of course, the markets. We can see that the international markets, stock markets particularly right now, are extremely volatile. And there's a lot of impact on the DAX, for example, and the CAC, et cetera, and all these indexes. So what we're going to see is this is going to affect our trade, obviously, with the EU. And obviously, that's going to be something that we are going to feel.
Right. How is this governed generally? Does South Africa need to I mean, I understand what you're talking about on is a very significant knock-on effect because of other areas imposing sanctions. Is there a, if the United Nations, for example, imposes sanctions, that means South Africa then can no longer trade with Russia. But until then, does it mean that South Africa can make its own decision about direct trade?
Yes, absolutely. I think we've got a degree of autonomy. Remember, South Africa is part of the G20, and the G20 plays a very big role in terms of trade relationships between us and the rest of the world. In fact, I think it's an incredible honor that South Africa is a part of the G20 relationship. So, you know, in order to maintain that relationship that we have with the G20, we may find ourselves in a position where we're going to be toeing the line as well. So, to a degree, yes. That most definitely will have an impact on us and the group dynamics within the G20.
Right. And in terms of our direct trade with Russia, how significant is that? What happens if that had to be curtailed?
Yes, well, you know, when I look at this, I'm very concerned about, so shall we say, those indirect relationships.
Yes, the Germany.
Much of our trade. If that's primary sector trade, you know, they become commodities, which are then converted into something else, which then get traded across.
Right.
So in terms of direct trade, to be very honest with you, I don't have those numbers in front of me, so I would be misleading everybody if I was to say, like, this is the fact. But in terms of the indirect trade, there is going to be definitely a significant impact, especially, again, you know, our relationship with other European countries and our relationship with China and how they see us fitting into this. There is one positive side. The emerging economies are considered definitely an alternative investment. And I think with investor confidence waning in the moment, especially with the pending conflict within the shall we say, the European region, the emerging economies are becoming more attractive for investment inflows. So they're going to start looking for alternatives. One of the strong alternatives is South Africa. So we could be able to capitalize on that.
And so this is going to be interesting. Just going back to the budget speech, which was something that that we were actually meant to be focusing on more directly. The so-called sin taxes. Your thoughts, your responses on that?
Oh yes, absolutely. Normally, as far as I'm concerned, it's a sin to charge sin taxes. The main reason is because of household and household spending dynamics. What we've seen is we're leaving for sort of like direct taxes to households unchanged. And in other words, income tax and VAT are going to sort of remain unchanged. So on that side, we're protecting household dynamics. But we also got to look at the sin taxes and the structure. Most of them are focused on, so to say, higher income households. So the main taxes, the main increases on taxes I noticed would be affecting higher income household spending. However, given the fact that most households and the very high level of unemployment in South Africa and the huge dependency on the social security bond, households generally have very limited income pool from which to pull. So what we're going to be seeing is that these kind of taxes, especially under times like this when there's a large amount of social distress, et cetera, we're going to now find that additional funding is going to be needed to pay for alcohol and tobacco products. And so even though it may seem small on the surface, households with very limited income have to restructure the spending pattern. So you're going to see just redistribution of spending within households actually taking place.
Was there anything that they left out as ways for collecting revenue or curtailing spending that you would have liked to see?
You know, he did actually really mention that this was a concern. Our pool of employed people, our pool of our tax source is extremely limited, and the huge burden of that debt burden is going to really, really impact us. In terms of finding taxes, we definitely focusing on investor business confidence. So we're looking at things such as releasing taxes for businesses, which will obviously encourage further investment by businesses, which will definitely encourage employment. Also employment incentives. So more people employ, you know, better tax incentives are provided to businesses. So from that perspective, that's actually really good. But in order to gain this tax, it's the chicken versus the egg. What comes first? You know, on the one side, we need that economic growth to be able to generate additional taxes so that we can actually pay for all these things. But on the other side, we need to spend into the economy in order to generate growth. So his focus is a lot on employment creation through expanded public works programs, infrastructure initiatives. But that, as I mentioned when we started, that toothpick that he's been given to work with is very, very, very tight. And finding additional funding right now would be wonderful to be able to access additional debt. But if we access additional debt, that's going to impact us negatively with our credit rating agencies.
Very, very fine, a very, very fine balance.